Hello and welcome to the Success Unscrambled podcast. This is Alvern, and so good to have the podcast today. This is a very special edition podcast. It's actually episode number 91, and in commemoration of getting closer to the number 100, we've got an extra special guest on today. It's a bit different than most podcasts because I'll be doing both an audio and video podcast today. And I have on a special guest, and his name is Rob. Yes, I just said his because normally I'd have ladies on. But I'll get Rob to introduce himself. Over to you, Rob.
Hi, Alvern. It's really great to be here, and I'm very honored to be the first man on your show. So I'm a writer, a blogger, and an online marketer by background, and I help people to create a location-independent income so they can go anywhere, do anything, and be anyone.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Rob. And as you mentioned there, you help people, you know, basically be who they want to be, do what they want to do, etc. So tell us a little bit more about who you are. Like, why do you make this sort of brave claim?
Yep. Okay. Well, as I say, I'm a writer. I've been a writer for a long time, over 30 years now. I was originally a journalist, and then I switched over to become a copywriter when I discovered that it paid more. I actually became a freelance copywriter in July 1988. I quit my last full-time job at an ad agency and became a full-time copywriter. So I've been running my own business for a long time and had kind of ups and downs and good years and lots of good years, but it's been a fun ride all the way. And it's a great way to live, especially in today's world where we have all this technology that allows us to work literally anywhere in the world with clients in different parts of the planet. And I think it's a fantastic lifestyle, a fantastic career opportunity. And I just enjoy helping other people to create a similar life.
Awesome. Now, when we got in contact with each other, you mentioned the fact that you are possibly the world's first digital nomad.
Well, I actually live in Thailand now, and Thailand's a real hub for digital nomads. So I've met hundreds, if not thousands, of digital nomads over the last few years. And people say, oh, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing it for 5 years, maybe 10 years. And I think, well, that's nothing. I've been doing it for 20 years. So I've yet to meet anyone else who's been doing this as long as me. And the whole digital nomad thing for me started in your part of the world, in Ireland, where I took my family on a trip in an old rusty Volkswagen camper van. And I just started an online business. And we decided to go on vacation to Ireland, but I needed to get online to check on my business and check that everything was going okay and upload content and answer customer support, that kind of thing. But traveling around Ireland in those days, there was no Wi-Fi, there was no co-working spaces, no internet cafes, nothing of all that kind of thing hadn't been invented yet. So the only way I could get online is we'd drive into a town somewhere in Ireland, and I'd rock up to someone's door and just knock on the door and say, look, how about this? How about if I pay you 10 Irish pounds, because it was before the euro was introduced, if you let me use your internet connection for half an hour or an hour and check my email and stuff. And some people would tell me to go away, and other people would invite us in, and we'd make some new friends, and I'd get my work done. And we did that. We worked our way around Ireland. We had a fantastic trip. And at that point, I realized that this could be a new way of working. Obviously, the phrase digital nomad didn't exist at that time, but I could see that, wow, this is great. I can work and travel at the same time. And that really started, that was the beginning of a whole major change in lifestyle for my family.
Okay. So I know there are some people who would be probably looking at this or even listening to this at some time later on. And I know from past experience, anytime I say the word digital nomad, they look at me like, I know you've sort of described it there, but can you explain in a shorter form, in a summary, what is a digital nomad exactly?
Yeah, okay. Well, really, it just means that you have an income that's not dependent on your location. So rather than having a job where you have to go into the office every day or into the factory or the retail outlet, whatever it is, you have probably an online business, which could be as a freelancer. It could be you have an Amazon store. You could be a blogger. There are loads of different things you could do, but you have an online business, which means you can work from anywhere where you can get on the internet. And of course, nowadays, that is almost anywhere on the planet. You can be halfway up a mountain in the middle of Southeast Asia, and you can still get on the internet and do what you need to do. So it's quite extraordinary. And so being a digital nomad, you don't have to travel. I mean, some people do travel continuously. They just want to see the whole planet and they spend a week in one country, move on to the next one. If you want to do that's fine. But I think in reality, it gets a bit tiring after a little while and you kind of need a base to run from. So personally, I live here in Thailand. My base is in Bangkok. And from here, I'm able to use this as a springboard to travel all over Thailand and Southeast Asia and around the world as I want to, but I have a home base to come back to. So, and if you just want to stay back home where you in the West, where you come from, then you can do that as well. But it means you have the freedom. First of all, you have the freedom from commuting and office politics and all those kind of rotten things that go with the 9-to-5 job. And you have the freedom to work flexible hours so you can work around your family. Certainly when my kids were school, it was great. I was able to help with the school run. I could take the kids to school and then finish work early, pick them up afterwards. And if I needed to, I could go back to work in the evening, catch up a little bit. So you have that kind of flexibility to live your life the way you want to.
Awesome. It sounds like a very amazing lifestyle.
I think it's fantastic that this didn't exist certainly 20 years ago. So it is amazing now. I think perhaps some younger people kind of take it for granted that you can do this, but I'm still kind of amazed. I remember what it was like when your only option was to get a 9-to-5 job. So I am every day I'm grateful to be able to do this, and I haven't lost the wonder of it. I still think it's a fantastic lifestyle.
Okay. And in terms of, okay, so for someone who is new to this whole thing, they don't necessarily have to be young. They could have been older. They're terrified of the thought of living in a different country. They probably don't even have a passport, never been outside of their country, that kind of a thing. Can you give a little bit more, I guess, information regards to the success of it? Like, is it easy? Is it simple? Is it a big struggle? Like, what is that process like?
Yeah, well, it depends where you go and what you do. Some countries are easier than others. You mentioned that the age not being a problem. In one sense, certainly if you want to come to Thailand, actually being older is an advantage, because if you're over 50, you can get a retirement visa very easily. That's one of the huge advantages of living in Thailand. So that does make it easier. Other people have to do visa runs once a month, which can be a bit annoying. But overall, it's not too difficult. You have to be prepared. You have to do your research and understand what you need to do and what the rules are wherever you want to go. But that's all part of the fun of the journey. So it's not a big issue. There's something you do have to be aware of, visa issues and those kind of things. But once you take care of those, you can have a fantastic time.
Okay. And what about the part of actually finding? Well, I guess let's go back to your example. You were a journalist, and then you decided to do marketing. You actually go into more like into copywriting. If someone, say for example, is not a journalist, not a copywriter, like how easy it is to transition from the 9-to-5 sort of lifestyle over to becoming a digital nomad. Like, what's involved in that process? Do they have to look for an online job? Do they start a business? What does that process look like?
Yeah, well, you can certainly do it step by step. You don't have to take the plunge and quit your job and leave your steady salary and risk not being able to pay the mortgage. So if you take freelance work as being a typical example, or blogging is another one, it's the kind of thing that you can do in the evenings and weekends at first. You can kind of dip your toe in the water and pick up a couple of clients or start a blog and get that up and running off the ground. And then when it starts making a little bit of money, then you've proved the concept and you might decide, okay, now's the time, I can quit my job and I know this is going to make enough money to pay the bills, and you can build things from there. So you do have that option. You can certainly start it as a part-time kind of side hustle and work things up from there.
Okay. And for those who've never heard of freelancing, because we want to cater for everyone in this particular audience, what does that look like?
That's a good point. So as a freelancer, it just means you don't have a full-time employer. You work on a kind of job-by-job basis. It's part of the gig economy, where you work for different clients as and when they need you. So you could be a freelance writer, and you might be writing blog posts for one client and sales page copy for another client and product descriptions for another client. And they will just hire you as and when they need you. So you just need to have enough clients to give you regular work to pay the bills. And if you get good at it, you can earn very good money as a freelancer. So it's and you have the benefit of flexibility, plus you have a high income. And I think you actually have more security now doing something like freelancing, because the days of a job for life are gone. You can't expect to join one of the big corporates and have a job until you're 65 and then get your gold watch and retire. You can get kicked out the door when you're 33 and this goodbye, we don't need you anymore, and you're on your own. And if that's your only source of income, then you've got a problem. Whereas if you're a freelancer, you may have, say, 5 to 10 clients on the go at any particular time. So if one of those drops out, it's not a big deal. You've still got other work coming in, and you only have to replace that one client. So you have the benefit of being a business owner rather than an employee who's dependent on one source of revenue.
Okay, thanks for that. So 20 years, as you mentioned, is a very long time.
Yeah.
So I'll go to the sort of the bad side of it first. Do you not miss, I can't even say job security, but that lifestyle at 9 to 5, where you come into the office, get into your car, get into the traffic, get into the office, you know, reporting to a boss, that whole culture, do you not miss that?
Yeah. No, not in the slightest. No, I certainly don't miss the commuting. I don't miss the office politics. Now, there is the social side. You do need to kind of replace the social side. If you're running an online business, it is possible to end up with a situation where you go for a week and you only ever speak to people via email or online chat. So I do make a point of joining kind of networking groups and so on, so that I have that interaction. Some of them are purely social, some of them are kind of business networking groups where they're kind of social and business. So you do need to replace that element, but it's not difficult to do. And you can choose the group you want to be part of, whereas with a job, you're stuck with your employees, your fellow employees. If you don't like them, it's hard luck. Whereas you can join Toastmasters here in Bangkok and Rotary Club. And there are some digital nomad groups and other business working groups. I do stand-up comedy and a few other things. So there are plenty of things you can do that give you that your social life. So you shouldn't have to depend on your colleagues for social interaction.
Okay, awesome. And again, on the sort of the more positive side of it, 20 years, you mentioned that you obviously were traveling a lot, and then at some point in time, you just wanted to have a base. But tell us, what did that 20-year period look like? Was it all happy-go-lucky, exciting travel all the time? What was that experience like over the last 20 years?
So really what happened? After that first trip to Ireland, that got me and my family thinking that we could move out of London and live somewhere else. And first of all, we thought maybe we'd move 10 miles out of London. And then we thought maybe we'd go as far as Brighton, because it's like 40, 50 miles. And then we ended up moving 10,000 miles to Australia. And we relocated to Sydney, which is fantastic, because that's something that we couldn't have done without this technology, without these online business opportunities. And so my kids grew up going to the beach after school, going surfing, jet skiing and boating, and doing living a real Aussie lifestyle, enjoying the good weather and everything else. And and that's worked out really well. And certainly, although they were in school, but when they had the holidays, like in summer, they have like a 7-week holiday in Australia. So then we'd go off and then we'd travel and we maybe come back to the UK, visit family in the UK, but on the way we'd stop in Asia somewhere, in Hong Kong or Seoul or somewhere else in Asia, and spend some time there, and then go to UK, and then after UK we'd go on to the Americas and stop in San Francisco and New York and see different places. So as a family, we were able to see a lot of the world and enjoy having the best of both worlds, because we had that kind of regular life in Australia. We were part of a community there, but we were also traveling and making the most of the holidays and vacations.
Awesome. Sounds good. And was there any time that it was like, I guess, because you know, even when you were an employee in a regular business, in a 9-to-5 job, etc., sometimes you want to move on and do something different. Like, have you always been journalism and copywriting? Is there ever time when business fell through, like for example 2008 when they had the big recession, like were you ever fearful or apprehensive of something? I mean, life couldn't be that sweet for 20 years.
No, it's up and down. And yeah, you mentioned a recession in 2000, and that was the worst time, actually, not because from online business, but I had some real estate investments at that time, which really went bad when the economy collapsed in 2008. And that causes some difficulties. There has been times when it's been difficult. And one of the problems with doing online business is there are so many opportunities. It's very hard to focus on one thing. It's very tempting. You watch a YouTube video and think, oh, that's interesting, I could do that. And you're starting off some new kind of business, and you have to say, wait a minute, I've already got a business. Let's focus on what I'm already doing. Make that as successful as possible, rather than drifting off and trying to start something new. And I think a lot of online entrepreneurs have this kind of ADD where they have like 10 different projects on the go, and none of them are actually making any money. And you have to think, okay, let's focus on one and make that work.
But isn't it true that they advise you to sort of don't put all your eggs into one basket, to make sure you have, you know, passive income coming in and all of that? Isn't that what it's advised to do?
Well, yes, people talk about multiple streams of income, but my experience is it's not easy to create source of income. So I think that when you have something that's working, when you find something that kind of right mix, that you've got a product that people want and are prepared to pay for it, then you should work that as hard as you can and turn that into a successful business, rather than try and then it's easy to think, oh, I made this business successful, I'm obviously good at online business, so let's start another one. Instead of having one 10 successful businesses, I can have 10. But you end up with 10 unsuccessful businesses instead. So it's very often it's better to focus on the one thing.
Okay. So for those who are sort of listening and watching and thinking, is there a point in time where you ever get tired? 20 years, as I mentioned, it's a very long time. So what gets you up in the morning?
No, I still enjoy every day doing this. It's kind of my hobby as well as my business. And I certainly never have to drag myself out of bed thinking, oh no, another day at the office kind of thing. I have the opposite problem. I'm often awake at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, oh, I've just had an idea. And then I'm up on checking things out. So I still enjoy it because it's always changing. There are always new opportunities. It's always interesting. And it's a continually evolving process. And I think I'll be doing this in 20 years' time,
Really?
Hopefully 30 this time. I don't see why not. I see Warren Buffett is 88 and he's still rocking on as CEO. So that's my plan. 30 years time, I'll be doing the same thing.
Awesome. Awesome. So in terms of your traveling roles that you might have met some really, you know, influential people, exciting events, exciting opportunities, and you probably have gotten a lot of advice along the way, because obviously when you first started, it was something new, it's something you've never really done, something that most people have never done before. What sort of the best advice you've ever received to date that's caused you to continue in your sort of path of success?
Well, the best advice I've received was actually not really business advice. It was actually the night before I got married, my uncle said to me, okay, you're getting married tomorrow. And make sure you enjoy every day, because it'll go quicker than you can possibly imagine. You'll have kids and they'll grow up and then they'll be getting married and you'll turn around and think, where did that time go? And he was absolutely right, because that's exactly where I am now. My kids are growing up and my oldest son is getting married this year in October. And it doesn't feel like 30 years, it feels like 30 minutes. So you do have to enjoy the journey. I mean, I think some people get bogged down in kind of work and study, and they're thinking of the future all the time. And of course, you do have to plan ahead, but you need to stop and smell the roses along the way. And wherever you are, enjoy what you're doing, enjoy that location and the people around you, and make the most of the time you have, wherever you may be.
Okay. And then for those people who are looking and saying, okay, there's this big thing of everybody wants to become a digital nomad now, wouldn't it ever get crowded?
No, not at all. There are endless opportunities. So I go to a lot of meetings where I meet people with online businesses, and I'm constantly amazed at the kind of businesses they have. They're in niches that they're doing things that I never thought could be a business. And you think, really? What? You're making a living doing that? And you think, yeah. So there is no limit to what you can do. I mean, especially in this internet-connected world now, we have 5 billion people with smartphones. So that's 5 billion people online that you could potentially sell to or market to or reach. So this never happened before, that even 5 years ago, we didn't have that kind of opportunity. Oh, wow. So the market and the opportunity is bigger than you can imagine. So there's plenty of room for everyone.
And in terms of going through this for the last 20 years, there might have been something that had a huge impact on you that kept you going, so to speak, or even kept you going, doing what you're doing. What is that one thing that has impacted your life to date?
Yeah, it was simply that I appreciate how lucky I am to be doing this. So I enjoy what I do. I think that's the most important thing, is to choose something that you enjoy doing, and then you will always be motivated to continue. If you're doing it just to make money, then it's going to be a whole lot harder. You're going to run out of steam after a little while. But it's great now that you can start a business. You can use your passion or your existing skills to build a business and do something that you feel is important and worthwhile and make a contribution to society. Whatever you want to do, you can do that. So you can be motivated year in, year out.
And what, so for someone who's doing the research now, obviously, mm-hmm. Sorry, someone who's doing research now, they're looking online, obviously there will be lots of information out there.
Yeah.
What can they expect on this digital nomad journey? You said, okay, it's best to keep your 9-to-5 job, start it as a side hustle, either start a blog or start freelancing. Like, what can they expect? How long will it take them to get that side business up and running? You know, what's the sort of hurdles they can expect on the way, apart obviously from visas? Where's the best places to go? I mean, you've traveled all over the place doing this thing. Where would you suggest, apart from Thailand?
All right, okay,
the best place to go, most friendly places that open to digital nomads, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What can they expect? I mean, obviously, I can't tell you. I can't tell you or ask you what else, but you can probably tell from the last 20 years what can they expect in that journey.
Okay, so in terms of starting a business, it kind of depends what you do. If you go for some kind of freelance work or consultancy work, then it can happen very quickly because you only need one good client and you're off. And once you've got two or three clients, then you've got a good income. So that can happen within a month if you go out and market yourself aggressively. You could pick up one client a week for 4 weeks, and then you've got four clients, and that's probably enough for you to quit your job and do what you want to do. If you're starting an online business, let's say blogging, then it's probably going to take longer. You need to think of it more of a long term, 6 months to a year maybe to get it up and running. But it's different for everyone. Some people will do it more quickly than that. And in terms of where you can go, obviously, it's really up to you. That the world is your oyster. So Southeast Asia has the advantage of it's cheap to live here. Flights are cheap. Accommodation is cheap. So, and there are great digital nomad communities here. But also, it's very similar in Eastern Europe, for example. There are a lot of great places you can live there. And South America. So you can go anywhere in the world, but there are some places where your money goes further than others. And when you're getting started and your income is not that great, then you might want to go to somewhere where you can stretch your money a little bit initially. But there are all kinds of options.
Okay. And for your particular case, obviously there is the element of the reason why you're in Thailand at the moment. Any reason why you wouldn't settle back in, stay back in the UK, or is it only about money, or are there other advantages out there from digital nomads?
No, I certainly spend some time back in UK with my family there, and also back in Australia with my family there, and travel to other places. So it really depends what's happening in my life, and my family's life depends where people are. And we arranged to meet up. Last year I met up with one of my sons in Mexico. We went to a conference in Cancun and had some time there and in the US. And I also met up with two of my other sons in Europe, in Hungary and the UK. And this year I'm going back to meet up with my daughter and the rest of the family in Australia. So we get around and meet up in different parts of the world. So you just have the freedom to build your life the way you want to make it happen.
Okay. I'm just going to give you 3 to 5 different scenarios of very, very, very difficult people who are in jobs that don't necessarily lend themselves to digital nomads, just for the viewers and listeners to get their head around it. Ready for the first one?
All right. Well, I'll give it a go.
You know those guys who maintain the sleepers on the railway tracks?
Sleepers. All right. Okay. Yeah.
They're probably upon this video and is thinking, yeah, but I can never become a digital nomad. Look at what I do. How would you advise them to go about starting that process?
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, I agree. It's probably difficult to start an online business mending sleepers, but I'm sure that's not their entire life. I'm sure there's people that have hobbies. Maybe they play golf or football or something, and maybe they're good at woodwork and carpentry or metalwork or something else. And those kind of skills, whatever skills they have, there are other people who want to learn those skills. So there's nothing to stop them start creating a course to teach those skills or to do some consulting or coaching. And whatever you've learned in life, because we all have a very different experience of life. None of us have lived the same life. You have a unique experience of life, and so do I, and so does everybody else listening to this. And so you have experience and expertise and knowledge that you can share with people. So you just have to figure out what that is. I mean, it could be just where you live. So for you living in Ireland, I'm sure there'd be a lot of people who would want to know, okay, if I came to Ireland, where would I go? How much would it cost? What's the currency? What do I need to know? Is it safe to go here? All those kind of questions. So you can have a business helping people do that. So there's always an opportunity. And if you really can't think of anything, then you can start something from scratch. You could decide, okay, I'm going to do real estate investing. You could spend a weekend watching videos on real estate investing, and you'll know more than most people by Monday morning. And you spend a bit more time doing research and do a few paid courses, and you know enough to help other people. So you can make it happen. If you want to do it, you can make it happen.
What about a firefighter?
Firefighter. Okay. Well, firefighters, I would say they learn a lot of things apart from actual firefighting skills. They have to have kind of the mindset to go into very challenging situations, and so they need, you know, courage and bravery and systems to keep themselves safe. So they are highly trained people in all those things. So those are skills that other people would need to learn. Like if corporate executives, they often need, and sales executives, they need the mindset. If they're like a salesman who's has to make yet another cold call and doesn't really want to make that call, that's kind of similar to the firefighter who has to go into a burning building when he'd rather go home and have tea with his wife. So That's a transferable skill that you can teach to somebody else.
Secret service.
Secret service. I'm sure. Wow, that'd be really interesting. I think if I had secret service experience, I would write books. You can make good money writing Kindle books. So an example is Mark Dawson. If you Google Mark Dawson, he's a very successful author. He writes kind of James Bond style books, and he also coaches other people now how to write books and publish them themselves. So again, things have changed. You don't need a publisher anymore. You can write your own books, mm-hmm. You can publish them yourself, which I do as well. Not fiction books, but I publish non-fiction books on Amazon, and that can be a very good source of income. So yeah, Secret Service would be fantastic. I could see you could build a great business out of that.
You know those guys who go up on the electricity pole and changing transformers and all of that?
Wow, yeah. Well, again, I think they would have to be really good at safety. So I think they would be able to teach people things. One thing about maybe the safety of electricity in the home, but also just keeping yourself safe in an environment. And I'm sure that they would have an opportunity also to do training courses for other electricians and other professionals who have the same challenges. And those kind of markets that you would think are small, but are not at all. These kind of markets are huge. When you think how many electricians there are in the world, and they all want to stay safe. None of them want to stick their finger in a socket and get electrocuted. So it's worth them paying $1,000 for a really good training on how not to kill themselves. So definitely an opportunity there.
Cool. And the last one I have for you is, you know, those furniture manufacturers. They have a manufacturing plant in a country and they can't really take that one. Well, they can't take the factory online.
No, but they can certainly sell online. And that's a fantastic opportunity. If you have, let's say they make custom furniture, then you can pick your market and you could start a Shopify store, or you could create a store on Amazon, sell with Amazon FBA, drop shipping. Different ways you can do that, or maybe through eBay or possibly through Etsy, depending on what they're selling. So, yeah, for those kind of people, it's a huge opportunity to build a business in a way they couldn't do. Years ago, as long as it's small enough to be shippable, I suppose. But having said that, I know people who manufacture snooker tables, and they're pretty big and very heavy. So, and they, I know a guy who sells those online on eBay and has a $1 million business doing that. Wow. So it's certainly possible.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
How do they ship those things? Anyway, yeah, you know, once they're trucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so for people who are not in those five sort of more difficult roles, what's the typical rules that are much more easier to get in, where they don't have to think long and hard, where they can transfer their existing skills into a digital nomad economy? What are those typical rules?
Okay, well, so I think everybody has some kind of skills that they could teach or share with other people. So it could be professional skills that they picked up during their career. It could be from a hobby or a passion. It could be kind of life skills that they've learned, like public speaking, that kind of thing. Whatever it is, I'm sure there's something, some skill you have. And then I think you could monetize those in three main ways, the three C's, either courses, coaching, or consulting. So nowadays, start with courses. It's very easy to create courses now. There are platforms like Skillshare and Udemy that make it really, really easy to create an online course. You need minimal technical knowledge. You just need the willingness to have a go and some knowledge to share, and you can do that. And I know people doing extremely well on Skillshare. So that is definitely possible. Coaching is another one. You can build a very successful business out of coaching. Again, I know people with million-dollar businesses just coaching other people in simple things. Things like relationships, finding a partner, or it could be business coaching. I know one guy who his coaching is all about how to do handstands. And he has a million-dollar plus business just teaching people how to do handstands. I think that just proves that whatever skill you have, you can make a business out of it. You can't get any more niche than that. But there are some people who really want to do this, and I know I don't know exactly how much he charges, but I know it's several thousand dollars he charges for his coaching program, which just demonstrates there are people who they really want to impress other people with their ability to do handstands, or they don't want to be embarrassed because their friends can do it and they can't. And it's worth paying for them $3,000 to $5,000, whatever it is, to acquire that skill. So whatever you have, there is somebody who will pay for that information.
And consulting?
And consulting, very similar. That's very similar to coaching. You are more likely to be working with companies rather than individuals. But especially if you have business skills, professional skills, and it's great for people who maybe have retired from one career, people who maybe retired early in their 50s or maybe in their 60s and still want to have an active career, then consulting is a great way to go. There are a lot of companies who would want to benefit from your 30, 40 years experience and apply that in their business.
Okay. And then for those who are saying, okay, the way how people say, this person's a guru and that person's an expert. And a lot of people, like you mentioned, might have between 5, 10, 15, 20 years experience doing something. And they don't see themselves as an expert or being able to consult. Like what does it take for them to, I guess, acknowledge or to shift from being that employee to a consultant coach?
Well, you don't need a lot of expertise. I know I remember going on one training session for coaches where the speaker there said, if you know 5% more about a topic than the person you're coaching, then as long as you impart that extra 5%, they've learned something valuable and they're gaining from it. So it's easy to overestimate how much expertise. So let's say you wanted to teach someone, how to write an article, maybe. Perhaps you've written some short stories, so maybe you want to teach people how to write short stories. So you might think, oh, surely everybody knows how to do that. But no, most people have no idea. They wouldn't know where to start. They would just be sitting at a blank page or blank screen and have no idea how to put something together. So even if you have some rudimentary understanding of how to do that, as long as you have actually written some stories yourself, then you have enough expertise to share. And of course, you gain more as you start a business. You're going to dive deeper into it and you'll get more experience and more knowledge, and you really will become the expert and you can really help people out.
Cool. Before, you mentioned that you obviously were a journalist and you've gone into copywriting. there is a lot of demand. I have noticed personally that there is a lot of demand over there for copywriters. Yeah. And I just wanted to ask, for those listening and they're thinking, copywriting. Obviously, there's a difference between just writing an article, and copywriting is more for sales and conversions.
Yeah.
How does one become a copywriter? Do they have to go to journalist school, or how does that happen? I mean, I know you talk about having learning 5% more than the other person, but obviously copywriting, right, it's a skill that, or a talent you develop.
It's absolutely a skill, and some people say it's the most valuable skill in the world, because a good copywriter can create a multi-million dollar product out of nothing. So the top copywriters, the direct response copywriters, they do get paid millions of dollars a year. But to earn that money, you do need to be very good, and you certainly won't learn that skill in any journalism school. That's a whole different kind of writing. So what you have to do, you have to study the masters, and I would start with the old masters of copywriting, as people like John Caples, and there's Gary Bentivenga, and all kind of Gary Halbert, all these guys who, they're kind of the classic old-time copywriters, but the skills they learned and taught are just as valuable today in the internet world as they were back in the 60s, 70s, whatever, and so on. So, if you get really, really good at copywriting, first of all, you can pick up some high-paying work. You can certainly make $100,000 plus a year as a freelance writer. If you get really, really good and get hired by top big companies, big marketers, then you can get into the $1 million plus bracket. Or you might choose to launch your own products and have your own very successful business. Definitely, it's a very valuable skill to learn.
And then for those listening, when is the best time to take the leap from, I guess, from the 9 to 5 over into the digital nomad sort of lifestyle? When is the best time?
That's an easy question. Right now. It's always now. Because people often put this off. They think, I'd like to do it, but maybe next year when I've done this and the kids are a bit older or whatever. But if you keep putting things off, a year will go by, and then it's 5 years, and then 10 years, and then 20 years, and you turn around and think, I kind of missed my opportunity. So I would start now. I'm not saying you should quit your job, but you should start taking action now. Start doing research. Just start watching some YouTube videos about the area that you're interested in, and find out if it's right for you. And if it is, then do some further research, and you'll start reading blog posts and finding out more, and just take it step by step. And then before you know it, a year from now, you could have changed your life completely.
And then people looking out here could be looking and saying, well, how do we know you are who you say you are?
Yeah. that's difficult. Well, you can check me out online. You can certainly go to my website, which is gofreelance.com, and you can read some more about my story there. I've got plenty of stories to tell you about. But even if I was making the whole thing up, the opportunity is absolutely genuine. There are thousands of people doing this. You can just do some research. An easy way to check out the opportunity is do a Google search for blogger income reports. And you'll see some other bloggers who publish their monthly income reports. And that will give you some insight into what's possible, because some of them are doing amazingly well.
Okay. And before I let you go, you have a choice of two things. I don't know which one is more beneficial for the listener. Either a five-step formula of how they can go from where they are into becoming a digital nomad, or five key things that they need to, as key takeaways, as they consider, moving from transitioning from a 9-to-5 sort of job into digital nomad economy. What your choice really
okay.
is more beneficial.
All right, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you five steps and one takeaway. So I'd say, first of all, you want to identify a niche that you think could work for you. So again, it could be your hobby, it could be based on your professional skills or whatever. And so that's the first step, is just figure out where do you have some skills that you can add some value, you could share with other people and help them along through their journey in life. And then secondly, you have to work out how to maximize the value. What's the biggest change in you make? How can you make them make transformation in their lives rather than just teaching something like, say, out of face painting, which is interesting, but it's not really transformational. So it's harder to build a business out of that. Whereas if you're teaching people how to find a partner, that's totally, it's transformational. You're changing their lives and they're more prepared to pay you good money for that. And they're going to be delighted if you help them achieve that goal. So figure out where you can really add value. And then I would join communities in that niche. Figure out where the people you'd be selling to, figure out where they hang out, whether it's Facebook groups or online forums, wherever it is, and find out what problems they have, what they're talking about, what questions they have, what do they need to know, what are they trying to solve, and that will give you an indication as to where you can really help out. And then I would outline a product and share that with the community and try and get some feedback. And then just create a product and market like crazy. I'm not sure if that's 5 or 6 steps, but that's how I would do it.
That's brilliant. And you had one key takeaway. Go ahead, sorry.
So the last thing there, marketing like crazy. That's the key. It's all about marketing. Everything else is fairly easy nowadays. The technology makes creating courses and so on fairly simple. But you have to work hard at the marketing. And the one key takeaway I would say is that, yes, you can do this. People often think, oh, it's other people who have got, I don't know, they understand computers or they've got this business background. I don't have that. You don't need that. Even if you can open an email, and if you can write an email and open a web page, then you have enough tech savvy to do it. And you learn everything else as you go. So you definitely can do it. I know lots of people who have started knowing absolutely nothing and they just figure it out as they go and become very successful.
Okay. That's awesome. And then for those who need a little bit of coaching to help them on their way, do you offer coaching?
Yes, I never intended to, but as I've been traveling around, people ask me what I do. So I talk about my kind of digital nomad lifestyle and so on. And then people have been asking me, well, how do you do that? And do you offer any kind of coaching or mentoring? And that happened a few times. And then the penny dropped and I thought, actually, maybe this is what I should be doing. So I'm doing that at the moment. I'm doing some coaching and mentoring and helping some people both face-to-face here in Thailand and also doing some online coaching as well. So if anybody wants to know some more about that, they can just go to gofreelance.com and contact me through the contact form and we can talk about it. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions anybody has about this kind of life and how to make it happen.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's very, very interesting. I'm just trying to think if there's anything that we've covered it completely, because I don't want to leave the listeners and the people who are looking in a bit of a quandary as to, but what about this and what about that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any other questions that people might be asking about how they can get started?
Yeah, I'm sure there'd be all kinds of questions, but I would say the best way to answer them is I would just go to YouTube initially and just search for whatever you need. And YouTube is just such a fantastic resource of training materials now that, like I say, you can know nothing about a subject today, spend a couple of days, weekend on it, and by Monday you can be on your way to being an expert. So I think that's certainly what I do every time I get involved in some new crazy project. I start with YouTube and take it from there.
And is there any sort of thing that they need to be mindful of or fearful of? Anything, any sort of concerns?
The biggest thing that will stop you most likely is your own fear or lack of confidence in your own ability and the fear that you can't make it happen. And it won't always be easy. There will be frustrations for sure, But if you keep at it, then it's definitely doable. So you just have, and even every time you fail, you're learning what doesn't work, and you acquire new skills and you get better as you go. So even if it takes longer than you planned initially, you can get there in the end, and there's no limit to what you can do. You know, if you just want to replace your day job income, that's definitely doable. If you want to build a multi-million dollar empire, that's certainly possible as well. It's a fantastic world in which there are no limits to the opportunity.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Rob. So your website address again is where these listeners can find you. It's gofreelance.com.
That's correct.
Yep. Okay. And that's it for today, guys. It was so great having Rob on. I know it's not, like I said, it's a very special edition, and I hope you've learned something new from him. And if you need additional coaching as to taking yourself from where you currently are to where you want to be, feel free to reach out to him on his website, gofreelance.com. And that's it for today, guys. Until next time, enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of the week. Bye for now.
Okay, thanks, Alvin. It was great to be here. And bye.
Bye-bye.